This podcast is brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or download the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Tech Plus, another week, another tech show, and lots and lots to report. We almost didn't have a show because we had a blue screen of death. No, I'm just joking. We have to talk about it, and we're going to talk about it just now. But firstly, let's say hello to Kane. How's it going, Kane?
Hey, hello. Another week. I like what you said at the beginning there. It's like it sounded like the intro to a movie, but for the tech.
Yeah. For the week. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll do it again next week.
Speaking of which, we had a global outage. Can you believe it? I've never seen something like that before.
You know that Elon Musk tweeted, or whatever you'd call it nowadays, because he can't really say tweeted anymore. He X'd that this was the biggest IT fail ever.
Yep. That is. I mean, it was massive. All I remember was, you know, just getting a message from a colleague of mine who was traveling, and they're like, we can't go anywhere because all the computers have blue screen. So for anyone who doesn't know what blue screen is, if you've ever worked on a computer or had a computer kind of die, what might have happened moments before disaster was you just kind of get like a blue screen. Mm. And on the newer Windows PCs, it's actually like a little sad face. It's got like a little semicolon open brackets.
That's right.
And it looks like a sad face. But in older versions of Windows, you actually got a pretty scary, like, dark blue screen, and it had all sorts of, like,
it was a different
text
blue,
on it, and it kind of looked like something went very, very wrong with the PC. And I guess that a whole bunch of businesses yesterday woke up, suddenly, all of a sudden, PC's not turning on properly. They're booting it, they're turning it on, but then it just gets to this blue screen, and the only difference is that PC was controlling maybe the flights plan for the airport, or, you know, might have been managing the ordering books for a local delivery company, or whatever the case was. All these systems that had one thing in common, they all used a provider called CrowdStrike. And
you know what? I never heard of CrowdStrike until yesterday.
It's often the most integral systems just got. Have you ever heard of Oracle?
That sounds a bit more. It sounds familiar.
So anyone who works in IT will know, like, okay, Oracle's very important for, you know, higher level operations and stuff. But the average person doesn't know anything about it. And in this case, CrowdStrike plays an important role in helping companies find and prevent security breaches, billing itself as having the fastest meantime or average time to detect threats, and it launched actually in 2011, based in Texas, and helped investigate major cyber attacks such as the Sony Pictures hack in 2014, as well as the Russian cyber attacks on the Democratic National Committee in 2015 and 16. And as of Thursday evening, CrowdStrike's valuation was upwards of $83 billion. And it has around 29,000 customers. And I think the tier of those customers, I mean, you're talking about airports, you're talking about banking systems, and we're going to get to more of that in a minute. But 29,000 customers with more than 500 on the list of Fortune 1000 companies, according to CrowdStrike's website. And obviously, they gave an update, some sort of update that went out to all the machines. And the minute that update took place, it just completely bombed out that PC. It couldn't boot.
Yeah, and even systems that were on, like permanently on, the minute that update came through in the background, that system just went blue, because that's how the radio stations and TV stations went off, because their computers are never off.
Yes.
It's always on. So you had weather people standing in front of the screen showing the weather, and then all of a sudden the blue screen is popping up in the background, then they're like, what's happening? Look like a deer caught in headlights. Or radio stations. Say there was a station in Australia, or a few stations, but one particular one on social media where their whole on-air system, you know, like where they play the music off, that thing just stopped working. The thing that plays the ads and everything, the playout software. So they had to eventually connect a laptop to the mixer, and they played songs off Spotify just to fill the airwaves, and actually made fun of it. And like, I think there was also a station that went back to tapes, playing tapes.
What?
They made like a whole day out of
that's
it, which
cool.
is quite cool, you know.
That's an anniversary worth coming back to.
But it just shows you also how reliant we are on these things, eh?
We are.
Like, if you had a blue screen today or yesterday, you have to ask yourself, you know, am I too reliant on Windows, you know?
Well, I always had it's like a fun game. It's like sometimes you'll go into a shop or something and you never really see the Windows through whatever business software is running. Like, for example, if you see where the clerks are checking out the items and they're
working you don't see
the
little taskbar or anything.
No, you don't.
So you always wonder what's the operating system.
No, you don't see anything that like reminds you of your computer.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, like the one time I went into QuickSpot, all the computers have like the Windows screen on them, and you're like, oh, that runs on Windows. I didn't know that.
Have you ever seen an ATM busy doing a Windows
with
update?
The Windows update.
I saw that once. I think that was the last time I actually went to get cash from an ATM. It was so weird. It was like legit, like the way you do an update on your computer, like screen and everything.
Preparing for update.
Yeah. I was like, what?
And sometimes you get like a, you'll get like an error box. You know when your PC has an error?
Oh,
just check on top of whatever this business terminal is. And just last week or the week before, we were at the airport. And you know where they have the flight terminals and flight times?
Oh, my word, yeah.
There was actually what we call a BIOS screen. So when you launch your computer, there's a software that runs before Windows. Like Windows is installed, you can say, on top of this other software, and that's called the BIOS, and that kind of controls everything. So before, on the first layer, a computer runs the BIOS. It's what connects all the components together, and then you have the operating system that runs almost on top of the BIOS.
Mm-hmm.
And without the BIOS, you couldn't have the operating system. So we were at the airport, and we just saw all these terminals were in the BIOS screen.
Oh,
you know,
my word.
Insert. It was like insert a hard drive, insert a compatible hard drive disk. You know, at the airport, that's not what you want to see.
No, that's not what you expect. It's like seeing the inside of things that you're not supposed to see.
So obviously all these computers that I didn't even know it was to this extent that also ran Windows and were one of these 29,000 customers. But as soon as that update rolled out, they had just a mega outage, like a mega just blue screen of death everywhere. And the problem with this error mainly is that the minute you get a blue screen, like if you can't get your computer to start properly and it can't start properly because it has a blue screen, it's not accessible remotely. Meaning once that update was sent over the internet and the PCs installed it and rebooted, they never came back online. So it's physically impossible for Microsoft or CrowdStrike to send an update over the internet that fixes that computer. What people had to do was one particular group of people reported that just continuously rebooting the computer actually made it work.
Yeah, Microsoft said, no, it's fine. Just restart your computer 15 times and then you're fine.
And you know why you had to restart it 15 times?
No.
It's because all these computers all over the world were rebooting. And it might be 29,000 customers, but each customer might have 1,000 computers. So all these computers are restarting, trying to get this latest update. Then there was also boot into safe mode and like really technical fix stuff. And the everyday person can't. So a lot of the systems have been restored. Capitec was one of the
I think they were one of the first ones who went down early in the morning already.
How terrifying must that be as a bank?
Because I am also with Capitec. So at that stage, you couldn't use anything. So basically, at that stage, I didn't have any money.
That's terrifying.
Yeah,
you know?
But seriously, you get to like the petrol pumps and you want to fill up and now your card's not working. You know, how do you pay?
And then the added pressure from people behind you starts building.
building.
Yeah.
It's humiliating.
It's terrible. Or you're standing in the supermarket and you have to pay and now your card won't go through and the people are looking at you, you know, then they think you're broke or something.
One feeling I have akin to that, you know, is I might have enough money to buy whatever I'm buying, but I might have to up my limit. And then you get that rejected thing and you
that also happens a lot.
Sit there trying to up and then you up the wrong limit and you try again. And
I've been there and then and then I do it, you know, incorrectly because there's this pressure on you and then you and sometimes the app's taking a while or the reception is not great in the store and then you're like,
in the air.
Oh, come on. Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
So, I mean, the outage was quite catastrophic because it had effect on banking and effect on flights. I actually found a video on Twitter and it's really on X and it's really not that hard to find. You can actually look at the last 12 hours on Friday of all the planes moving around, like in America. And I'll show you a video of it, but you can just see all this air traffic, all these planes flying around, and then all of a sudden there's just nothing.
Nothing. Oh my word. Wow, that's pretty creepy.
Hey?
Oof.
Like hundreds and hundreds of
nothing. That's
creepy.
It's that flight radar thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my word.
So that shows you. I mean, this was. And
it just all dropped from the sky.
And it was real. I mean, we had colleagues that were trying to fly, and they were like, oh no, I think we're going to miss our connecting flight because of how delayed this flight is.
But the actual planes weren't affected. It's like the terminals that were affected.
Just the air traffic, like air traffic controller's ability to control air traffic.
Yeah, man, you don't want to mess with that.
It's like the worst
the same
thing that could
planes on the same thing.
All two planes trying to take off on before. One runway. One plane taking off, another one landing.
Disastrous. No, I'd rather stay on the ground.
It can become a problem.
Yeah.
It can become a problem. So luckily, a lot of those fixes have gone into place. It looks like things are kind of back to normal. A lot of those systems, unfortunately, won't be able to be repaired on the spot. They might have been able to do a backup, but if they weren't able to do that, they might have been able to do restarts. But if they weren't able to do that, they're in some
difficulty. So who do we blame now? Is it CrowdStrike that we blame, or do we blame Microsoft?
Yeah, so a lot of companies have now put pressure on CrowdStrike and said, basically, you have to explain how this update went over the air to so, like, you're a securities company who literally dropped the bag so badly.
Damn.
That even without a threat, you knocked all these computers over. Like, without even, like,
it's
no
so
threat.
Ironic, isn't it? The one that's supposed to protect you from viruses attacks your computer and makes it useless.
It's like all the, police or all the security in a bank just suddenly start shooting their weapons. You know? Shut the bank down for no threat at all. It's completely unprompted.
They start shooting each other, yeah.
Start lining up. You know, that's just
crazy. That's a good analogy, actually.
It's just crazy. So speaking of crazy, what's also pretty interesting is apparently Elis Electronics, or Elias, or I've never known how
Elis,
to say
yeah.
it.
It's Elis, Elis. Yeah.
Elis Electronics is done. Completely. It's over for them now. I guess they are, as of, you know, after 45 years, the electronics company founded by Eli Salco in 1979 effectively stopped operating on Friday, 12 July, 2024.
Oh, last week already.
Apparently, they made an announcement of going into business rescue in January 2024, and a month or so later, the guys who were doing the business rescue just said, look, we don't think there's any possibility of saving the company. And apparently, all speculatively, but adding insults to injury, the source said that 2 to 3 weeks, 3 weeks before the voluntary retrenchment notices were sent out, some staff had received retention packages. But however, apparently, you know, whether you were there for years and years and years and years, or apparently someone who was there for like 20 years got the same compensation as someone who joined in 2016.
Ish.
So that's a little bit.
That hurts. That hurts very bad.
And apparently they said that all the staff had a choice, but apparently the company made it kind of sound like that was their last option. Like, you're not going to get an offer like this. Just take this voluntary retrenchment. So they're under a little bit of pressure about how these, you know, how their dealings came to an end and what exactly the staff had to say about it. And apparently that's a little bit of uncharted territory. But I mean, I remember seeing Elis Electronics everywhere. I mean,
plans. Yeah. No, I think we'll still see it. We still have all that stuff in our homes and we'll carry it over. But I've seen a lot of people. Like last week, I think, there was an article of a business that was planning on buying Elis over, you know, but that probably didn't go according to plan.
I think they were completely purchased, but like just the name almost, the staff and the operations ceased.
Oh, that's very sad. So, that's a lot of jobs lost as well.
Especially when you work for a company for like 20, 30 years, you know.
Yeah, it's almost like did it mean nothing, you know?
It's like you joined before it even became the year 2000 and you got treated the same way that someone joined 16 years after the year 2000.
Yeah, that's not right, actually.
So hopefully we hear more about that and that comes right in due time.
Mm.
Then we have, this is very interesting, Takealot's highest rated products of all time. So in light of their online store sale that's happening later this month, which includes their highest rated items of all time going on sale, like the PlayStation 5 and the Apple Watch SE. Takealot also revealed that along with the most wishlisted items from its site, as it gears up for the ultimate checkout sale at the end of the month, the sale will be centered around the highest rated items and the competition or campaign will run from 24 to 28 July. So between 24 and 28 July, apparently the most highest rated items on Takealot will go on sale in a Black Friday-like type of discount, apparently.
Mm.
South African shoppers on the e-commerce platform have been doing a lot of tech shopping, apparently, given that Naomi, Samsung, Hisense, DeFi, Malex, and Apple all feature within the top 10 brands searched for since January. Takealot said it receives almost, this is crazy, 86 million searches and 200,000 reviews every single month.
Sure.
That's a lot, eh?
That's a lot.
I don't even want to... if someone said, hey, Kane, here's R1 million, just make sure these 200,000 orders this month go out from our warehouse. I'll be like, I resign. No, it's not going to happen. You know, 200,000 orders a month divided... Let's just divide it by 20 working days. That's 10,000 orders a day.
Oh, no, that's too much stress-ish.
Am I... Yeah, that is... If you had 20 working days a month, that's 10,000 orders a day.
Oh, no. You can't even count to 10,000.
I can't.
No, man. Yes.
I would split it off.
Yeah.
I would opt out of that subscription.
Definitely.
So the top rated tech items of all time on Takealot with a rating of 4.9 stars is the TCL 55-inch C745 QLED gaming smart TV currently listed for 10,000 Rand, which for a QLED display at 55 inches, 10,000 rands, like half of what I paid for mine, so that's a really good price. LG 611L side-by-side fridge priced at 43,000 rand.
Eesh.
How many people reviewed this item? How many people will be buying this fridge?
Sure.
And the Instant Vortex Plus air fryer with clear cook window priced at 2,600 rand also made the list. South Africans have also been very busy on Takealot, adding over 7 million items to their wish list in June alone. Just in June. Dude, people have too much time to browse Takealot. The top 5 products South Africans have added to their wish list over the past 6 months falls within the technology category. The most wanted item is the HP 250 G9 Intel Celeron notebook, which has 8GB memory and RAM for 5,300 Rand, and the Apple Watch SE 40mm costing 6,300 Rand, and the PlayStation 5 1TB console in white for 13,000 Rand were also common on South African wish lists. South African shoppers have also been doing tech shopping on Mr. D using Takealot's new subscription service. This is what gets crazy to me. If I use Mr. D, I'm using it to get food, right?
Yeah.
These people be out here buying the Apple MacBook Air M1 chip, 7-core GPU, the Garmin Forerunner 5S smartwatch, and the PlayStation 1TB were all purchased from Mr. D.
That doesn't sound right.
For tonight, I think I'm going to have some Spur and a MacBook Air. And I think just a quick PlayStation 5. That's our dinner tonight. That's crazy, man.
Oh, well, wait, no, that doesn't sound right, eh?
It's like you put like 600 rands worth of dinner and then a 30,000 rand PlayStation just quickly before you check out.
Sure.
Apparently, the most popular suburbs where Mr. D was used with Takealot now is Brackenfell, Bellville Gardens in Cape Town, Cresta, Rivonia, and Sandton in Johannesburg. I found that very interesting.
Very, very, very much very so. Interesting.
Is it time for a music break?
It sure is. Let's go for some music. Welcome back to Tech Plus on this Saturday as we unpack the biggest tech stories this week. In not only South Africa, but all over the world. Kane, what is next?
Well, we just spoke about the CrowdStrike Windows update failure. We have another failure today, a rare failure. SpaceX's rocket fails during the Starlink launch.
Oh,
so
dear.
Apparently SpaceX suffered a rare failure of its Falcon 9 rocket in space, marking the first major in-flight mishap in more than 300 launches of the workhorse vehicle. I still think it's pretty impressive that going from a time where we could only use a rocket once to it failing on the 300th time of going to space. Imagine you go to space and come back 300 times in a row. I'm pretty sure you're going to have some screws loose, you know?
Sure.
So the 300th attempt, obviously, it went up in flames. And the late Thursday incident, which is now under investigation by the Federal Aviation Administration, is likely to have a ripple effect on the Elon Musk-led company's rapid launch cadence moving forward, depending on how long it takes SpaceX to identify and fix the issue. The failure will also temporarily ground the most dominant rocket on the market, as the Falcon 9 holds a de facto monopoly on commercial satellite launches for a vehicle of its size. This is crazy. The uncrewed rocket was carrying 20 of SpaceX's Starlink internet satellites, including 13 with the company's new direct-to-cell capabilities. Those are the satellites that you can use with 3G internet. So, you know, if you're making a phone call, it can use the satellite to help you route that phone call, as opposed to needing a cell phone tower. So that's also very, very cool. Not cool that the satellites were on the rocket that exploded, but apparently some were still able to be deployed into space before the rocket exploded. The only caveat is it was deployed into the wrong orbit. So this is crazy stuff. It feels like a movie. So after this rocket launches and, you know, ends up deploying the satellites at the wrong orbit and then ultimately explodes, they found that they had a liquid oxygen leak. So you can actually go watch the video and you can see on the rocket that this like ice is forming and breaking off. It's quite a cinematic scene. And then it obviously launched these satellites into space at a lower than optimal orbit. And what happened was Elon Musk and Starlink had to do now try to fix this problem. So they activated the ion thrusters on the Starlink satellites. These satellites have rockets on, like rocket boosters, little ion rocket boosters on them to try and push them into higher orbit. But unfortunately, they don't think that propulsion is going to be enough to fully circumvent the effects of that Earth's gravity pulling the things closer. So they believe that those 20 satellites will eventually just get pulled into Earth's orbit and just go up in flames. But how interesting. I mean, what a lot. I mean, ion thrusters on satellites and liquid ice, liquid water freezing and on the 300th launch. It literally sounds like out of a space movie.
Yeah, it does.
But very much so real life and something that happened very recently. So,
yeah, but crazy. A lot of stuff happening right now feels like a movie, eh? Actually, even since we had the pandemic, everything just feels like a movie. It's like the stuff that's happening now, it's almost unreal.
It is unreal.
You know what else is unreal is a clip I saw this week of I really don't know if it's staged, and I really hope it is staged, because I was just I was speechless. It's this girl sitting in a restaurant in Cape Town.
Okay.
And she's eating lovely food, a big, big plate of food, and she's got a nice drink there as well. I think it's a cocktail. And the waiter comes and he brings the bill. And, somebody's filming it. Somebody sitting next to her is filming it, but it really looks like it's legit. And then she goes, excuse me, what is this? And the waiter says, yeah, it's the bill. And she says, do you know who I am? And he says, no. She says, I'm an influencer. I'm sitting here promoting your place. So you're lucky to have me eat here. I'm very important. So why must I pay the bill? And it turns into this whole discussion between her and the waiter. And later on, the manager joins and everything. And he says, ma'am, I'm sorry. You didn't have any prior arrangements with us to do this. You've got to pay the bill. Otherwise, we've got to send you to the back to wash the dishes or something. she's so offended, eh? Because she actually said, I'm very important. I'm a star. Why must I pay?
President of TikTok.
Yeah, so she's like, you're lucky to have me here eating in your restaurant. Why must I pay? I've got thousands of followers. So, you know, you do get these situations, but obviously it needs prior arrangement as well. But, I mean, this arrogance. And the big thing is entitlement. I thought she was joking.
No, I don't think just because you have a social following doesn't entitle you to free food.
You can't just, I mean, it is great and you're giving exposure. But, you know, if there was a prior arrangement, maybe, you know, if you went to the restaurant manager and said, you know, I can, you know, post your food or whatever, will you give me like a discount or whatever? I'm pretty sure they would say yes.
Yeah.
But doing it this way, you can't just, you know.
Collaboration collaboration requires both parties to be willing to collaborate. I mean,
this
to just
entitlement.
Come in, it's crazy.
It's crazy. I've actually, you know, even if this isn't real, maybe it was staged, but there's a very good chance that it's not. And if it is real, I'm not surprised, because you do get that nowadays. People say, I'm an influencer, I can close your business. Remember that case you spoke about, that guy?
I did. We've seen stuff like that before, and I think people like that in society tend to weed themselves out. You know, social media catches onto them, and you'll probably find that the person who said those things, the person trying to pretend to be an influencer, is probably going to find the most hate, not the business trying to make a living.
Exactly. It backfired so bad.
It's like going into a store and just demanding they give you stuff for free because you're someone important, but no one even at the store knew you were coming.
But you could see, like, the manager, they just want to laugh, you know, and he actually said to her, but I'm sorry, who are you? I don't know you. I don't recognize you. What show are you on?
I wish we knew so we could like research and see.
I'll try and get deeper into it, but I'm sure our listeners have also seen this clip going around this
week.
You'll
probably see it. It'll float around on socials.
It is. And the comments, she's not very popular. Let's just say that.
No, man, that is absolutely insane. You know what else is insane? This new type of stove that I saw the other day, it's actually pretty crazy. So it's called it's an induction stove from a company by the name of Impulse Labs. And it's apparently developed by former Google Glass and Oculus engineer Sam D'Amico. And the stove has a built-in battery and works with a standard 120-volt outlet. It launches for $6,000. Which is like 120,000 rand.
Yeah.
But it can boil a liter of water in 40 seconds.
At that price, you better do that.
You better freeze the water in 40 seconds.
I expect the food to be delivered to me as well in the house.
So apparently it has burners that can pack 10 kilowatts of peak power. So if you have enough power in your house, you can just turn that dial up to 10 kilowatts of juice. I mean, a normal stove is probably 3 kilowatts. You know, that's probably... like 3,000 watts, maybe 5,000. This one is a casual 10,000 watts.
Yikes.
And it's enough to boil water in 40 seconds. That's blisteringly quick. That's quicker than your kettle can even dream of, you know? Put
definitely.
A liter of water on your stove and less than a minute later, this thing is boiling. And there's actually a video of it where he just turns the dial up and in like 10 seconds it starts bubbling, and then like 25 seconds it basically looks like it's boiling.
Wow.
Just sheer
power. That's
actually
scary.
Talking about things that have a lot of power, these you know, one thing that I never expected to have a problem with in terms of internet and things like that is something that's now been highlighted by some South Africans thanks to Starlink. So a lot of people want to watch DStv Now content. Right? They want to be able to watch DStv. They want to be able to, you know, stream that content. And apparently people who have Starlink have been having some trouble basically being able to stream their Starlink content or DStv through their Starlink internet connection. And the reason that is because Starlink doesn't actually have a ground station. It doesn't have any physical hardware in South Africa on the ground that the satellites themselves can connect to. Because contrary to popular belief, the internet connection doesn't actually exist in space. All the satellites can pick up different people connecting to it all over the world, and it uses laser technology to push that information from satellite to satellite until it can find a satellite that can connect to the ground And then it sends all that information to the ground where the internet is searched and the connection is made and things. So basically, you're connecting to a satellite, which is connecting to another satellite and another satellite and another satellite until it connects to a satellite that can connect to the ground. So your signal goes from your house to the sky, across the sky, to a land tower, and then into the internet. So when certain times of the day are happening, that connection is going through all the satellites to a ground space in Nigeria where DStv is supported. But other times that signal is getting routed all the way to another ground station in Europe where DStv now isn't supported. And because it's not supported there, you're not able to download that content to your device, even though you're in South Africa. So it was the first time ever that I've seen something where you can connect to satellite internet, but because of the way it's configured, actually you're connecting as if you're in Europe. Because you're going up to the satellite, down a chain of satellites, all the way to Europe in a tenth of a second.
Yeah.
And because you've chosen this particular route over another particular route, where you're connecting to the ground is actually where your internet is coming from. So if your service that you're trying to connect to isn't available in that region, you're not going to be able to download that content. So some people with Starlink in South Africa will actually have to use a VPN.
Yeah.
So that content can be routed the right direction, and basically you can get that DStv will think that you're connecting from, in this case, South Africa.
But then you must really want to watch DStv.
Yeah, it also makes it very difficult for you know, IP to track an IP, because you might be connected in South Africa, but you're routing all the way to Europe. So Starlink is acting as a type of virtual private network, which is what a VPN does. So if you're in, you know, Johannesburg, you know, using Starlink, you might actually appear as browsing from Europe, which is something I've never had to like try cognitively understand before. Then we have some more interesting info. Apparently the Quest 4 is coming. So anyone who doesn't know, Meta Quest is basically the Oculus. It's a VR headset. We had the first one, then the second one, now we have the third one, and the fourth apparently is coming in 2026. With a cheaper alternative to the current Quest 3, apparently coming in a few months from now, and also apparently an Apple Vision Pro competitive Quest. So this is a high-end Quest Pro, something Facebook and Meta will obviously be trying to compete with the Apple Vision Pro with. There's going to be some really high-end hardware. I think that's coming in 2027. So that's something to be excited about. Here's something that I haven't heard in an age-long time. Pirates of the Caribbean is coming to Fortnite.
Okay.
When was the last Pirates of the Caribbean? It feels like ages ago.
Yeah, it does.
Since we watched that. I mean, Johnny Depp is no condition to be Jack Sparrow right now, I don't think. he meets the minimum requirements for that role anymore.
You'll have to recast.
So crazy to see that coming back into the news. And then, remember we spoke about the Samsung Galaxy Flip? I think it was like a 45,000 rand phone. It was absolutely ridiculous. Well, they've got something called... it's an AI generative tool. You basically sketch something on a notepad, and then it turns into an image. So you might draw a stick figure with a little mojito on the beach in like a little pen drawing, and it's going to convert it into a real person holding a real mojito on a real beach. Yeah, in like the really most accurate way. Or maybe you have a photo of flowers, and you just draw a little stick man bee, you know, and then it will turn it into a real bee. And that AI tech is apparently pretty accurate at the moment. Samsung making a lot of... getting a lot of attention from this phone exclusive AI, what they call sketch to image technology. And I just didn't expect to see it in a smartphone so soon, you know, somewhere where you can just literally sketch something rough and whatever, and it'll just turn it into an image and send it. You know, maybe you want to send your friend a picture of a palm tree. So instead of searching Google for palm tree, you literally just draw a palm tree and then it turns into a palm tree.
Or try and draw one. Hopefully it will recognize what you're trying to draw.
Draw a palm tree badly, in my case.
Same here, yeah. It will probably...
I'll draw a palm tree and it'll just make a giraffe. Clearly this is what he wanted.
Please try again.
So that's very interesting. Apparently Google Gemini, which is the other type of AI, so Samsung has an AI and Google has an AI. Apparently Google is the official sponsor, the official AI sponsor of the Paris Olympics. So you're going to see a whole bunch of Google Gemini AI ads, including their 3D maps of all the different stadiums, which you can go look at, which are actually, in my opinion, super duper cool, super cool 3D maps. And a whole bunch of other AI tech will probably be advertised. So if you're an Olympics fan and you're watching the Paris Olympics, look out for some of Google's Gemini AI ads. You might see something that's pretty cool. But I think you definitely will, considering how much money they must have paid to be that sponsor.
Exactly.
And then when we come back from the next music break, I actually have a very exciting piece of news about something we've spoken about before, and that's the flying cars from Lilium, the eVTOL aircraft.
Flying cars.
Flying cars.
Man, oh man, 2024. Ish.
Ish.
When we come back, let's go for some music. Welcome back to Tech Plus. Another week, another show, almost done. But it's been a very interesting one so far, sharing all the latest tech news with you. Kane, what have you got for us next?
So a while ago, we spoke about a company by the name of Lilium, who is a German electric vertical takeoff and landing company, which is just short for car and plane got together to make a thing called a eVTOL, which is basically a combination of the two. It's basically a car that can vertically take off. So it's basically a plane that can fly somewhere and then vertically land. So imagine you're at a stop street and someone just jumps into their car and it just goes up. And then in another scenario, you're just chilling, there's a parking spot and you think, this is my parking spot. Nope, vertical landing takes your parking spot. That's an eVTOL.
Do you think we'll see that in our lifetime?
Well, this is the thing. The country you would expect to probably buy it first has bought it first. Saudi Arabia has ordered 100 eVTOL vehicles, entered a purchase agreement.
Now you need a pilot's license. Eh?
So now when you go to Saudi Arabia, you're going to see up to 50 flying car taxis. And I just think that
is
the cherry on top of how did we get here?
That was really quick. That was really quick. I wasn't expecting flying cars until at least 2050 or something.
And I think the bitter irony is when you go to Dubai, you can actually go to a place called the Museum of the Future. So if you're ever traveling to Dubai, I'd recommend going and look at it because it's just wild. And they basically make you feel like you're in a skyscraper 50, 60 years in the future. And they have all these flying cars going everywhere. And I was like, yeah. Flipping 3 months later, we just bought 100 flying cars. And you're like, whoa.
But, you know, especially over there, what about all the high rises? I mean, you will most probably see some accidents, you know, people flying into other people's apartments and stuff.
No, nothing like watching a movie on TV and you get that surround sound eVTOL flying through your window, parking on your kitchen.
You've always been safe up in the air, you know. You don't really expect airplanes to fly into your flat or whatever. But now there's a new fear unlocked.
I'm telling you right now, if they give that tech to people to use, someone's going to try land it on their roof and it's just going to go through the roof and you're going to hear about it on the news.
Exactly. No, listen, this is going to be in the news. Eh? Can you imagine how the taxi drivers will be with that thing? They're already so bad on the road. Imagine them in those things. Yeah, no, that's not going to work
for me.
Just
people at the top of a building jumping in. Quick pickup.
I want out.
Man, so we might see some of those. That'll be absolutely crazy. We also spoke about the Samsung Galaxy Buds 3 coming out. Apparently, Samsung halted all deliveries of the Buds because there's like quality control issues. People are getting their Samsung Galaxy Buds 3, and then where that piece connects into your ear, it's just snapping off. It's like, like a Kit Kat, just... And that's the end of your Buds 3. So they've halted all deliveries of those. We've got a lot of manufacturing. I mean, the iPhone 15 had some manufacturing issues. You know, battery swelling.
Oh, my word.
Overheating, yeah. You know, bad craftsmanship in certain situations. It's been, you know, a hell of a ride. And now we see same thing hitting Samsung as well. Weird. You know, weird to see all these manufacturing errors. Apparently, Meta is considering investing billions of dollars into eyewear giant Alessio Luxottica, the same people that make Ray-Bans. And apparently, Meta is considering releasing a new type of augmented reality glasses that are much bigger and bulkier, but they have the actual AR, their heads-up display. They can take you into virtual reality and all that sort of stuff. Whereas the other Ray-Bans just had cameras that now, by the way, if I take my Ray-Bans out with the latest update, I can ask, hey, Meta, what am I looking at? And it will look at what I'm looking at and it will tell me what I'm looking at, which might not be cool if you're looking at a pen, but if you're looking at, you know, the Eiffel Tower and you've never heard of it before in your life, it's going to tell you this is the Eiffel Tower, this is when it was built, you know, this is the interesting things around the Eiffel Tower maybe.
What if you look at somebody and you ask a thing to tell you what you're looking at and then it says you're looking at an idiot?
And you're looking in the mirror.
Yeah, that imagine
that could 100% happen. I mean, you might be able to identify celebrities. It's like,
yo,
futuristic as hell, eh? I mean, really.
Phew.
Netflix also went on to say that bundling with Max or Disney Plus is probably unlikely. That they don't see themselves partnering with anyone. Mm-mm. They feel like they actually said that they feel like they've brought a lot of innovation to the market.
Yeah,
and makes by sense. Partnering with partners, they're taking away that innovation in a way.
I agree.
They're not the one-stop shop that they already are.
Like DSTV teaming up with Disney Plus. I mean, that's a different thing.
But
I don't really see Netflix hand in hand with.
I see everyone combining to compete with Netflix, not Netflix combining with everyone else.
Yeah,
that's the situation. You're right. I think we see there. Mm. Apparently, Netflix is also getting more comfortable with ads, with 45% of their users being on that ad-friendly tier.
Joe,
45%.
How long are those ads? That's the question.
Apparently, they're even going so far as disabling the lowest commercial non-ad tier. So basically what that means is the lowest price option that Netflix has before you have to start watching ads to compensate, they're removing from the UK to push people into that ads tier, because apparently the ads are making so much money now that they're actually positively contributing to the overall revenue of Netflix.
How often do these ads come up? That's my question.
Well, apparently there are lots of different types of ads. They're even looking at ads that only play when you pause the movie. So as soon as you pause the movie, then the ad plays. And I thought, well, of all bad ads, that's probably the least bad one.
Yeah. As long as it's not too intrusive, you know, like, don't cut the show to show me an ad like YouTube does.
Yeah.
The random ads in the middle of a sentence.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Or like right at the biggest moment of the show, it's just like unskippable 30-second back-to-back ad. What?
That's too intrusive. I hope they're not going to do that,
I agree. But apparently they're completely phasing out some of their cheapest commercial-free plans and they're pushing the ads because they're working. I mean, we were talking about the ad tier before any of their subscribers were there for ads and Netflix. Now 45%
say that's a surprising number.
It's very big. Way bigger than I expected.
But same here,
at the end of the day, it also is their most affordable ad tier.
Would you watch it with ads?
If I didn't have the money, of course. You know, if I had to choose one streaming service, I would probably take Netflix with ads and have two streaming services.
Yeah.
You know, if it was really down to the wire like that, or if I was like, you know, below the age of 16 and I wanted to have a streaming service, I'd probably just take the ads. Screw it. You know, why?
Yeah.
Why pay? I mean, it's only $150 though. I mean, it's really hard to spend too much on Netflix, but having an ad tier there that could be $50 makes a big difference, because you're getting 3 months for every 1 month. So it does make a difference. Speaking of differences, I mean, the Trump shooting. I've never seen anything like that. I never thought I'd live to a presidential attempted assassination.
Kane, I mean, I was actually awake when it happened, eh? Funny thing is, I was like monitoring the news channels and stuff, and then I saw breaking news. And then that was the time when it actually just happened. In America.
How crazy, eh?
Did you see how there's a photo where you can see the bullet going past Trump?
I did see. And I mean, there's even a video where they've mapped out his head and his exact movements, and they show within a fraction of a second he just moved his head in the right moment.
And he heard it whizzing past his ear, the one that got shot.
Yeah.
He heard it, eh? It went zoom.
Yeah, I mean, some people say it might be staged, but it's a very... Yeah, that's like...
No, that's too close to...
That's
no.
Daredevil level, you know, like...
But I still wonder, how did the Secret Service, like, not spot him? Because did you see the footage where, like, people 20 minutes or so before that guy actually fired from the roof, people were, like, showing the police, hello, there's a guy on the roof.
No, apparently they had a lot. Apparently that even the sniper that ended up taking him out had already received an order to not shoot him because they had already seen him and they couldn't shoot until fired upon.
Because they were pointing at him already, but they were waiting for him to shoot, it would seem.
Yeah.
And then they shot him.
Yeah, and also the way that he was hiding behind a so he only got shot when he revealed... He was only able to be shot by the snipers when he was able to shoot at Trump. So when he started shooting, he was already... able to be shot at, and the guy just shot at him, and that was it.
Did you see the leaked photo
of
the shooter afterwards? Somebody took a photo of him, like, as proof that he's dead, and that photo got out.
Really?
Somebody sent it to me, and I verified it. It's actually correct. It's wow.
Not worth looking at, that's for sure.
No, they took care of him. Let's just say that.
Yeah, they didn't waste any time, and he was in a very opportunistic spot. So.
Now, that was shocking to watch, eh?
I mean,
if you go back and you look at assassination attempts in American history on presidents, Reagan in the 80s and Kennedy, who was dead, he died. John F. Kennedy in the 60s when he was assassinated in America. But crazy people. I mean, look at John Lennon from the Beatles, who was shot by a fan right on his doorstep.
They're
crazy people. You don't realize this. You can't stand there like Trump did, actually. You actually need more protection. You can't just stand there open like that.
No.
Not with gun-crazy Americans around you.
Well, it shows you. I mean, it took a kid who was 20 and had zero training, a pretty decent shot at shooting the guy. And he had more security than we ever could afford for ourselves, you know?
So. Yeah.
It is a bit of an oddball. There were some weird circumstances behind it. The kid has very little history or search history or anything. He had a detonator on him.
Yeah.
Like a bomb detonator.
But they said it was like linked to fireworks. They thought that he wanted to set off fireworks as a distraction, maybe.
I don't know what the heck.
I think that's still a bit sketchy, but he does have a troubled past. I actually read up a bit on him. He was bullied in school. He was always known for bad hygiene, and he came to school in like an army overcoat or like khaki, you know. And he was actually also asked to leave the school shooting club because he was such a bad shooter. And I was like, don't we know it?
Yo, I mean, like, his shot was pretty on point, though. That's the thing. He had a good shot. Chop just moved at the last second. This guy really has the worst luck with shooting, to be honest. But apparently, the FBI got into the Trump shooter's phone with the help of some unreleased software. So apparently, they were trying to get access to this new age Samsung phone. Just couldn't get access to it. And they used a company by the name of Cellebrite Software. Their software, obviously, for bypassing these security measures and things, and they managed to bypass it. And apparently, the FBI said it also found that the shooter's Steam account and took that as well. So, moral of the story, if you try and assassinate a president, expect your phone and your Steam account to just get accessed immediately. I don't know why they need the Steam account.
Do you think this guy, when he pulled the trigger, this 20-year-old, do you think he realized that he was actually going to die?
Definitely. I mean,
so he knew that he was basically putting his life on the line.
I don't know how you think you're going to walk away. I mean, these guys have snipers at positions. They're going to find you. The people, I mean, I think when the people started, I don't think it was as planned. I think he wanted to not be detected because people started making a ruckus. Some cops apparently stuck their head up onto the roof, saw him, and he pointed the gun at them, and then they backed off again. Or apparently the guy...
I heard that as well.
Guy boosted onto... used another guy to boost onto the roof to see, and then holding himself on the roof, the kid turned the gun and pointed at him, and then he lost his grip and fell down.
Oopsie.
So I think they definitely knew, but they didn't know what to do. You know, I think... everybody practices for those situations, but no one... I mean, there was even a video of one of the Secret Service agents just like completely... like they took their gun out and like was waiting for Trump to arrive at the hospital, and then they were going to put their gun away, and then they couldn't get their gun away, and they like were stumbling trying to get their gun away while the Trump's like getting escorted versus like fixated on their gun not going into the hospital.
Is it not one of the female Secret Service agents?
I can't remember who it was, but I just find it quite funny.
She knew.
Completely couldn't put the gun back in the holster.
I saw that.
That's Trump's Secret Service level security.
Yeah, I was following the coverage also on TMZ.com, the celeb site.
Oh, really?
That was pretty accurate and very nice and exclusive footage also on it.
That's interesting. They must have journalists on the ground or something.
Yeah, no, they're brilliant, eh?
Wow.
That's how I knew it was real what was happening.
And apparently President Biden has tested positive for COVID-19.
Does he know it?
No, I mean,
I shame Pops.
Couldn't happen at a worse time for him. No, Trump getting shot at.
Yeah, but him,
I mean, the other day he called President Zelensky President Putin.
That was a serious one. Did you see the other guy's face? He's like, huh? You called him his enemy, and you know what? The funniest thing is the bloody people in the audience started applauding.
Yeah,
when he said Mr. Putin, and then the audience started cheering.
Do you think they noticed? Do you think it was just muscle memory? Do you probably think they muscle added the memory. Claps in after to try?
Nah, it's probably muscle memory. But then they stopped,
because they were clapping. They're probably like, wait, what did he just say?
I'm very concerned about Biden. Like 99% of the time, it sounds like he's not articulating, and he's not the words. You can see he's looking for the words, but they're not coming out.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it's fatigue or if it is actually dementia or whatever, but you can see that he's gone, hey? I saw a clip in 2019 of him, hey? Oh, man, he was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. It was a different guy, hey? 2019, he would win any debate with Trump. He was just, on it and fast. The way he was moving also and the way he answered and everything was snappy. 5 years later, it's a completely different guy. It's almost like somebody closed the curtains. His eyes, even, you can see. He's not really there.
I just don't think he's just not in a position for the next 4 years. Like,
No.
Not after this Trump
thing. That was a 5-year difference. Imagine another 5 years or 4 years, what he's going to look like then.
Yeah.
Just enjoy your retirement, man.
Yeah, that guy, he's done a good job, man. He should take a break.
Swallow the pride and just, everybody's saying step down anyway. Yeah. Even the big names in Hollywood are saying step down. He's got grandchildren as well. I say, Biden, come on, just enjoy your last years, man.
I mean, someone was speaking to me and said, what do you think, what do you think about the upcoming USA elections? I mean, who would you vote for? And it really is, it's a tough choice. And with this thing that happened with Trump now, I think it's probably going to be Trump.
Yeah.
Probably.
But everybody, people are saying that this assassination attempt is definitely going to let him win.
He won big time,
big support now.
I think if he hadn't planned it, it definitely had the effect in that his favor. You had planned it, this is what you would have wanted to happen kind of thing. I don't think it was planned, but I think from a very fortunate chance of events, it so happened that this is...
I also saw a clip of him appearing this week somewhere, and you can see he's really humbled by what happened. His ear is still covered in a plaster from the shooting, and you can see he's humbled by this. You know how it is when you have a near-death experience? It humbles you.
Yeah.
You can see he's humbled, he's grateful to be there, and he was almost like emotional, you could see, he realized that he was almost dead. He actually said, I shouldn't be here tonight.
If I was him, I remember when I used to play hockey, and the one time I just got absolutely, a ball just went flying into my head. And it was like quite a big thing, and it was quite traumatic, and every time someone would try and take a shot with a hockey stick in my peripheral, I would just like turn away. I would feel like that on stage. I'd just be like, any noise or
any noise, somebody opening a bag of popcorn.
Every time he eats a popcorn, you're like, whoa, don't do that to me.
Yeah, shame. I'm sure I saw a picture also of him just after those Secret Service agents told him to get down. You could see he was really panicking.
Yeah.
I think he realized that how close it was.
It was very close.
Too close.
On that note, is it time to end?
Yes, before we get
too close.
Shot. Yeah. Caden, thank you so much. Another great show, and I hope you're going to have a good weekend. Also, the Walker are playing again today, this afternoon at 5 o'clock. All the best to them. Please beat these guys, because last Saturday was not good. 1-point difference, but still we lost.
Yeah, good luck to the Walker. Thanks so much for everyone for listening in. See you next week, same time, same place.
Cheers, man.
Cheers, all.
Bye. Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or through the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store.